This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? What's going on?
Dealing with that bomb cyclone. It's nasty out there.
I got an email from Mama Rock today. a text. She texts now. And do you want me to read it to you?
Please. Is it anything like the BTJs? Are you okay?
Well, she's out in Kansas, you know.
Yes. My gal's out in Houston right now, and there's a lot of panic right now about the bomb cyclone.
And let me tell you something. You can, you live in central Kansas,
yeah,
where she lives.
Yeah.
She's seen some stuff.
I know.
Some weather rolls through there.
Yeah.
She said, "How's your weather? Do you have power?" News stories make it sound like it's bad around there.
It was a little windy.
So then I told her, well, it was a big storm, but nothing major at our house. And then I said, fake news. Yeah. And of course, she's like, what does that mean?
Oh, she went, okay.
And now I'm like, yeah, okay.
You've gone down a hole. Stopped. Just let it go.
It was not that bad.
No, it was not.
Talk to you later.
It was not. But I guess the bad part was that somewhere in Washington, a tree fell on someone. And
yeah,
that's horrid.
I saw that.
Yeah, someone died.
It was in Bellevue.
Was it in Bellevue?
There was two. There was it was a big storm.
Was it someone at the Bellevue of Audi dealership? Because if so, that may be karma. I'm just saying.
Wow.
That garbage-ass dealership.
Wishing death upon the Audi
No,
bros
I
Bellevue?
Am not. I'm just saying. Could be karma, because once again, Audi of Bellevue, garbage-ass dealership.
I think it was last year, wasn't it? ESPN baseball insider Jeff Passan broke his back from a falling tree, like fell on him. Do you guys remember this story?
I do remember that story. No. I don't remember him breaking his back.
I think he was laid up because he like cracked a couple of vertebrae or something like that.
You sound terrible. Are you okay?
I mean, I feel fine. I just don't sound fine.
You look and sound great.
You have smoker's voice little bit.
That cat age you got there is, keep telling yourself.
I told you it's the snotty ravioli fists.
Yeah. It's got a little Patrick Harris going on right now.
I love Patrick Harris's voice.
Oh, it's the best. It's like 20 years of Marlboro Reds and you get that. Or you're just born with it. Yeah, he's got a great voice. But yeah, the tree fell on someone. And
well,
so
it was a homeless person.
Was it a homeless person?
Yes, in a homeless camp.
Yeah, that's bad.
That died, a woman. And then there was also, I saw the B-roll. You know, they call it B-roll.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
B-roll.
Sure.
Yeah, B-roll.
Yeah.
And it was a big old tree had fallen on a house in Bellevue.
Well, the worst part was, is I was mocking the BTJ for being concerned about the bomb cyclone. And of course, then I got the, someone died.
Well, isn't
what
it,
do you think now?
Well, two people died.
Two.
But isn't it interesting that the people that are more worried about the bomb cyclone aren't here.
Yeah.
Like they're in other parts of the country, which tells you that in other parts of the country, they are exaggerating our hot weather news.
Yes. Well, this is my whole thing that I if you just said
fake news,
if you just said that there was a bad windstorm coming and there was going to be a lot of rain, yeah. No one would care, but you don't. You've created, it's the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson thing. You've created a false narrative. Bomb. Could you come up with a scarier name? Like someone was sitting around at the weather and like, wait, we've got a little bit of rain coming with some light wind. How do we drum this up and make this a deal? What are two of the scariest things?
What?
What if a bomb got dropped on a city? And what if a cyclone hit? Ah, let's put them together. Bomb. It's like how a WWE wrestler gets his name. Like from parts unknown, the bomb cyclone. And next thing you know, now I'm fielding text messages about, is the roof safe? That is a legitimate question.
I will say this. It wasn't light wind. It was
light wind at my house.
It was a hefty storm. But I told my mom, I said, you know, scale of 1 to 10, that one was a 4, maybe a 5. I you know, 4.5. I don't know. Do with that information what you will. Take that back to CNN.
I did have to pivot in my normal urination pattern in the backyard because of the wind. So I guess that's more
and
than...
And there's a bunch of power out, too.
Was there power?
Well, yeah. There still is. There's like almost 500,000 people without power.
Where?
Let's take a look.
Here? Locally?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That See, was if my... it doesn't affect you, you don't care. Well, you know, you're a real son of a bitch.
I don't know anyone... And I did. I said I was sorry for the people that that had the tree fall on them. That's scary.
Well, it was only one person.
One. I thought you said there was two.
Well, there were two trees down, but it fell on one. Like one person died. The house was fine. The tree was just laying on the house.
Okay.
I mean, the house isn't fine, but you know what I mean. It didn't kill anyone.
Yeah. So I just look. I have sympathy for that, but locally. Dude, we just love to drum up fear. It's what we do. It's what the news is good for.
Yeah, the woman was in Bellevue, and she was hit a little before 7 p.m. She was declared dead soon after the first responders. Another woman died when a large tree... Okay, so the Bellevue one did kill someone.
Oh.
There was someone that died in that.
Were they an Audi of Bellevue employee?
Oops. And then... No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe another woman died when a large tree fell on a homeless encampment off of Alderwood Mall Parkway in Linwood, wherever that is.
That's no good.
So same time.
Well, yeah, I would assume that the homeless, like you don't have any, like the tent isn't going to shelter you from anything. And then you're amongst the woods, right? It's normally amongst trees. That's probably not where you want to be during any storm, let alone a bomb cyclone.
I always think about when trees fall on people and hit them and kill them.
Yeah.
Or permanently maim them or even just injure them.
Yeah.
I always think about how unlucky they are.
Oh, like, yeah. Of all the things that could get you.
Think about place, time, and everything that has to line up for that to hit you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I think about that all the time with anything. Like when you, like a car accident. Car accidents are, how many times have you been driving and you miss something by, half a second? Right. Someone cuts you off and you think about all the million things that you did that day that brought you to that exact moment. You know, how long it took you to tie your shoes, brush your teeth, a second here, a second there, and you don't end up there. Same thing with a tree falling on you. You just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it does freak me out a little bit because we have two big, I don't know how big evergreen trees are. Are they like 60, 70 feet? You know, the big.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah. We have two monster ones. Well, I have two in my yard and one that's on the fence line, but it's in the neighbor's yard. And they're big old suckers, 60, 70, 80 feet. And when one of those limbs falls, it's bad. I've had my fence wiped out a couple times. One spear, like predator style, went through the roof of the murder shed, went through the roof and stuck through the floor of the murder shed. And like right through. And I thought to myself, what if that hit a human being? Like, does that just, same thing? Is that just right through you? That just, it went through a
Final Destination stuff.
Yeah, it's Final Destination. Imagine you're just hanging out in the murder shed doing, whatever you do out there. I don't know, like get out some Christmas decorations.
Chopping bodies.
I'm in there minding my own business. And what? I think I'm fine. I'm like, oh, it's windy out. Don't worry, I'm in the shed. Next thing you know, right through the top of me. This is scary stuff.
So they're saying 474,000 people without power, but that's up in the Puget Sound area.
Okay.
Because that's Puget Sound Energy posting that
on
the social meds. hot social media blast from Puget Sound Energy.
Question is, when does the atmospheric river come? Is that after the bomb cyclone?
Well, I don't know.
What other sort of crappy weather names can we come up with?
I don't think the atmospheric river is quite the same. I think the bomb cyclone is a little more rare.
Yeah.
And that's like once in a decade type storm, which we got last night.
Okay.
And they said that a lot of people up there will be without power for several days.
Oh.
But it's not, it sounds like Issaquah got the worst of it.
Mm.
Whereas you and I...
Those poor bastards in Issaquah.
Did not.
No, we did not. Again,
I don't know. I was sleeping. And a tree did not hit my house, so
I just had to pee in the other direction because I was afraid of wind pushback.
Nothing woke me up.
I had to pivot. No, it was fine. My dog slept outside, too. He loves it out there.
I will say, if we could get a break from the rain, that'd be great.
Well, we did this morning. It was great.
The second I said that, I thought about, it's been dry most of the day.
Yeah.
This
is the first time in a while that I got to walk the dog this morning and didn't have to put on the slicker.
I know.
Just nice sweatshirt.
Isn't it nice when you open the door and you walk the dog and you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about much of anything other than maybe just a sweatshirt.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Such
it's like a luxury.
Yeah.
Don't take that for granted, Arizonans and San Diegans.
Yeah, I try to time my night walk with my dog around.
Me too.
I just like, but I'm always kind of peeking outside to see like, how is it now? How is it now? And you're rolling the dice every time.
That's a great Northwest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that you have to just, you only have a certain window to walk the dog. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the lesser of two evils. It's going to be raining on you. It's just not raining as hard as it was an hour ago.
You got to, I always say, you got to enjoy the little things in life. You enjoy every sandwich. And sometimes your sandwich is just a nice little dry pocket to go out and take the dog. And if that's the best thing that happened to your day, you know what? That's not too bad. You take that as a W. It's like the rebuilding Blazers. You take the W's when you can find them, right? You don't stare a W in the eye.
I don't think you should call them rebuilding anymore.
No. They've arrived.
I believe they've shed that label.
Play-in contenders.
Evidenced by the last three games.
They have arrived. The era has become.
Yep.
2 days rest against the Spurs, who are on a back-to-back. Do you think they can do it tonight in OKC?
They're not playing the Spurs.
Thunder, who played the Spurs yesterday in a back-to-back.
The era has become.
If the sorry-ass Spurs can get them, clearly the baby Blazers.
DeAndre Ayton's finger hurts. So
is that like four games in a row that he's missed because of a
finger? It was listed by the Blazers PR as deep finger contusion.
Deep?
A finger contusion.
Is there someone in the league that wants to play less than him?
Well, do you think maybe the organization's like,
Zion?
I don't know, man. He wants to be out there dominating.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he
That
does.
Was his nickname.
I don't think he cares. I think he wants to play Xbox.
Yeah, I think there's an element to that, yeah.
Maybe he's excited about the bomb cyclone because it may bring more snow day excuses.
I'm not saying that a finger doesn't hurt, but...
Watch him cover his driveway in ice all winter.
He's just out with a garden hose.
And we're like, it's like sunny. Nowhere else is icy.
Also, DeAndre, you had a year to figure this out.
what kind of car do you have? He's just driving one of like a... I don't know. He's riding around on an old-timey bicycle with just that big front tire. He's like, that's all I got.
All of a sudden,
can't get up.
The single best free agent motive is... City with bad weather and a terrible driveway. Yeah. That's what guys want.
Next thing you know, Blazers are building their home real on the load side management. Of mountains.
The real load. That's right. I'm going to miss at least seven games with this driveway. It's great.
Go ahead. Send whoever you want over here. You're not getting me out of here. You got a water feature that just dumps water on your driveway.
We're sending in a helicopter.
Not too many trees. The key is steep driveway, lots of trees. Yeah, getting a helicopter in there.
Well, I think we should start our show.
Let's do it.
Thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday, and you guys know what that means.
Love our Wednesday shows.
We're going to be on fire today.
Bottom line, they're ass.
Not today. Not today, fake Brian Ferentz. Not today.
Yeah, I mean, we only have so many shows left before we get into holiday mode.
Yeah, and then who knows?
And that starts like next week.
I know. Then stuff's happening. Things are gone. I don't know.
Things are gone.
I got something. People are gone. We're getting drunk.
What?
I'm north of the border. Who knows? There'll be an international incident. Man, you can't make any long-term plans. Yeah.
But it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yeah. Everything's crazy. You're crazy. I'm crazy. Buck's crazy. The world's crazy. The weather's crazy.
Buck's got cat AIDS. I mean, he could die at any moment. He sounds wonderful.
All right. Well, yeah. I got a poll question for you guys.
I can't wait.
Coming up next.
Can't wait.
On The Fan. All right, nice to have you along. Wednesday program. Time for our poll question. It's on X, formerly Twitter. But you guys probably knew that.
Mm-hmm. Soon to be Blue Sky.
Yeah, have you been on Blue Sky yet?
Nah, I'm thinking about it, though.
Yeah?
But, you know, I'm lazy.
That's the new one.
Yeah, it's the new one. And then Threads was that for a while, and that, you know.
Threads seemed like they missed their chance.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was Threads? I don't know.
That was the Instagram one.
Yeah, that's one that's connected to Instagram.
Yeah. One of these days.
So, when you say about to be Blue Sky, what do you mean?
Oh, well, it's just on X. And like, but right now, Blue Sky doesn't have polls. You can't poll.
So, but Blue Sky is affiliated with X?
No. Blue Sky is the, if you hate Elon.
It's like
Elon,
the non-Elon
If you're tired
X.
of Elon and whatever Twitter's doing, you can go, like, I think after the election, like 16 million people signed up for Blue Sky.
How many people are on X?
Couldn't tell you, man. No idea.
More than
Why
that.
Don't you know that? You should know that.
Because I don't really care.
You're our social media guy out here.
Anyone that's really jammed up about whatever Twitter or Facebook or Instagram is doing.
X.
X. Oh, like, again, if that's the biggest issue you have in your life's doing okay.
It's true.
I did see that Trump is selling American guitars now on X, though.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
That man.
How much?
There's only 1,300 ever made.
That's how you get them.
And he did sign a couple, too.
Do we know where they've been made?
Scarcity.
China.
I got a good idea. But you can go to gettrumpguitars.com. And yeah, it's a guitar with a big American eagle.
Now, does he sell out of those?
I'm guessing.
Do the fools?
I can't imagine. I mean, he sells everything, dude. So.
Well, I know he does, but I wondered, do people actually... I mean, I know some people do. I just mean, like, is that, like, a really profitable venture for him?
I don't...
Because isn't he doing, like, NFTs now?
Yeah, someone went to him and was like, dude, here's a chunk of change. He doesn't get anything if they sell or not. I'm sure he just licensed. He's like, here.
Yeah.
Here's $500,000 and hold this guitar. I know. It's the best gig in the world. I'm waiting for that. I don't think anyone wants to buy my NFT or
guitar.
I'll
put my name on it.
The Asahi brand guitar.
Right. I have concepts of a plan.
Asahi.
Yeah, the concepts are make money, man.
Okay. X at 1080 The Fan. That's how you follow us. If you're still on there, at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday's question was, Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game, and we found that out yesterday that they actually are.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten championship game.
So I was right and then wrong and then right again. Feel pretty good about it.
Who do you want to see him play? 63% say Indiana, 30% say Ohio State, and 7% say Penn State.
Yeah, no one wants to see Penn State.
God,
go away.
Nobody likes Penn State.
No. And they're like the fourth, what are they? They're fourth in the country? Yeah. I have no respect for them.
No one does.
I don't care. That kind of makes me happy. That
you're making me uncomfortable.
That we all have just gotten together as a society and hate
well,
Penn State.
Well, they've got to win a big game before anyone's going to care about
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Right?
And they
don't have any left, right?
Isn't that a bit like Oregon?
I don't think so.
Oregon beat Ohio State, but Oregon, you know what I mean.
Oh, you mean like...
Oregon has that reputation.
Oh, you mean like in the postseason stage?
Yeah, like the biggest...
I would like to see Penn State beat someone ever.
Like, this season would be good.
I'd also like to see their fans care about child molesting over an old fool, but, you know, that's not going to happen, so...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Penn State can just get bent.
What was I going to tell you? Before we get to today's poll, mm-hmm. I have some Ohio State news.
Yeah.
Late-breaking Ohio State news today, guys.
And this is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I, your noted sports scholar over here, mm-hmm. has been saying that I think Ohio State feels like it's sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Even though they've lost a game. Because I don't think Oregon scares them a second time. And, all they got to do is beat Indiana and Michigan. Mm-hmm. Which they should be able to do.
Yeah.
Favored by double digits in both
Michigan's
games.
Yeah, Michigan's not any good.
But Ohio State lost another offensive lineman today. Their center.
Best one.
The transfer from Alabama, who's an old guy. He's been there, he's only been there a year, but he's played college football for like 25 years.
Yep.
He's 60 years old, and he blew out his Achilles, I think,
yes.
in practice yesterday.
Yep.
Seth McLaughlin.
Yep.
So he is down. So that is the second offensive lineman for Ohio State that is out for the season.
And then Josh Simmons, who was their starting left tackle, he went down for a season-ending injury against Oregon.
Well, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
That's why I said the two. Josh Simmons is the first one, and this guy yesterday is the second one.
And it's their two best offensive linemen. And they've been battling O-line injuries, but those two are season-ending. And this is what I said about Ohio State. If Ohio State was healthy, Yeah, but they haven't been. They were already down a lineman when Simmons got hurt at Oregon, and you could see once that started happening, that run game was not the same. Now, they bounced back a little bit against Penn State and started looking better, but here we go down with another key piece. And look at what Oregon, when Oregon was down, not even their best lineman, when they were trying to figure out their shuffling thing at the start of the year, and then when Harper went down. Dude, you lose one or two O-linemen, it can radically affect you. So I think this is a huge blow to Ohio State.
So everybody wants to play Indiana, and that's just because they think it's the easiest game? Is that why?
Yeah.
But it's in Indianapolis.
And I'm not certain that that is the easiest game.
I'm with you.
I think Penn State.
Well, I guess we'll find out this weekend.
We'll find out. You know, if Indiana gets hammered by Ohio State, then, you know, maybe they're right. To me, if I'm Oregon, Penn State doesn't scare me at all, because I just don't think their offense would do squat against
me. I think
me.
You can beat Penn State 24-13 all day long.
Yeah.
And twice on Sundays.
Yeah. And Indiana scares me a bit.
Indiana's got a little bit more explosive
Exactly.
capability.
Indiana may be able to get into a scoring fest with you. Now, against the best team they've played, Michigan held their offense down. So, again, we'll find out. Was that a weird day for Indiana? If Ohio State goes in there and holds them to 13, then, you know, then our opinion changes. That's the weird part about college football is, for a lot of these teams, we get to this point in the season and they've been tested one or sometimes zero times. And so it's really hard to know. I mean, you can bitch all you want about whether, you know, the Big Ten, SEC, and then, you know, the ACC is clamoring that they don't get enough respect in the Big 12. But the schedules are so unbalanced and the competition is so unbalanced, because people can bring up the NFL, but in the NFL, everyone's a professional and there are no truly bad teams. Even though the worst team in the league is full of professionals.
What is the freaking Panthers?
And the schedules all somewhat get balanced out. Whereas in college, it's kind of absurd that Indiana can go 11 games and not have really played anyone. But it's the truth.
All right. Well, that's what the SEC teams are all griping about.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's a valid gripe, but at the same time, there's always there's a counter argument to that, and we can throw at the SEC of, look at what's happened when some of the SEC teams have played other conferences, you know, like LSU, you know, getting beat by a very, very average USC team. And there's been a couple of those, and then they only play 8 conference games to throw in another conference game. There's always a counter argument to be made about it, but you can't deny that when you look through Alabama, Georgia, places like that, there's not another conference that would want to go play that schedule. You would gladly trade an extra conference game for not having to go through and play that. It's just the truth.
All right. Poll question today on X at 1080 The Fan. We're asking you, assuming you could keep them for as long as you wanted, or in perpetuity, I think is what I wrote, which of these coaches would you most want to run your program? Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, Deion Sanders.
Do you believe?
Kenny Dillingham.
Dilly, dilly.
He's got a dog mentality.
Huh. But it's a good question, because none of those are proven.
Well, you got different archetypes on
you
there.
You do have different
I'm
archetypes.
Giving you the Deion kind of hotshot, you know.
I mean, that bull junkie.
I know he may not be your cup of tea, but a lot of people dig him, and you know he'll recruit.
Yep.
And then,
but that's the thing, he hasn't really recruited. He's transfer portaled.
Well, okay. Well, that's the same to me.
Yeah.
Get players is what I meant. Yeah. Kenny Dillingham's young, good program builder, and of course his Dan Lanning pedigree is a lot of people are liking that, and he's like, a lot of people get behind him.
Yeah. And Sark and Lane are both kind of the same thing. They're proven, but neither one of, I mean, Sark went to a one playoff. Lane hasn't gotten there, but Lane hasn't had the teams that Sark has had. Boy, that is a good question. I don't really know where to go with that. You've kind of stumped me. You really have.
Finally.
I normally it doesn't take me that long, even if there's one or two answers. I think I could flip a coin on this. I think.
You know who's winning? Do you want to guess who's winning?
The Lane
By
train.
By a lot.
The Lane train?
Kenny Dillingham.
Really?
Dilly Dilly.
He's got a dog mentality.
Yeah, bitch.
People love him.
Yeah.
Well, of course, around here, too. He was the OC at Oregon, so.
Yeah.
A little bias, you know?
Sure.
Out there.
Again, I would like to see him do something other than, you know, I mean, 8-2. I mean, what he's done is incredible. Same thing with Deion Sanders. I just think, honestly, the safer picks are Lane and Sark, especially if I'm at a big-time program, because I know those guys. I think I'd lean towards Lane. I think I would take Lane and Sark. I would take the known commodity over Dillingham and Dion. So I, honestly, I think it'd be a coin flip between Sark and Kiffin.
All right, vote and vote hard. Dan Lanning trending again today.
Guy's everywhere.
God. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Prime time with the Saatchi and Souk.
Okay, just getting ready to talk some Oregon State basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Utah Tech game?
Yep.
Or do you want the Western Oregon breakdown?
Well, I think it should be a big 90-minute preview of the Civil War tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That game's on the fan tomorrow.
That's right.
Did you know that?
7 o'clock?
I think 6:30.
Well, 6:30 is the pregame.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, don't miss the pregame.
No. Not with the Beavs, 4-0. Are you kidding me?
Are they 4-0?
Yeah, Utah Tech, Weber State, Western Oregon, and Cal State Fullerton, bitch slapped by the Tinkler.
Smoked them.
The Ducks are 4-0, too. What's the spread? Let's guess the spread right now. Go.
I'm going to say Oregon by 7.5.
Where's the game? Do we know?
I think it's at Oregon, but I don't know that for sure.
It is in Corvallis.
I'm going to go 10.5 Oregon.
I'll say 6.5 Oregon.
Okay.
State basketball.
Do we have a way to pay that off?
I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah, Sook's looking it up.
I don't think they have lines already for tomorrow's games, do they?
Probably.
What do we got here? I hate when you go to a gambling site and then they give me the
You must log in.
Well, I get that if you want their pick, that's fine.
Yeah.
But give me the bleeping spread. You can't just...
Yeah, losers.
Oh, dude, that drives me...
It's the spread, bros.
Yeah, it drives me bananas.
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, but I can get $60 worth of free premium member picks if I put
in
my... I was going to say, hold on. If we're going anywhere, it's to John Anthony.
Yeah, where's the confirmed information?
This voice, I'm going to take his spot pretty soon.
Confirmed information.
Is anybody watching college basketball yet besides me? Because my Jayhawks?
That one guy on YouTube that was angry that we were talking college football, and then when Buck asked him what we should be talking about, he mentioned the Beavers playing basketball. I was like,
oh, is that why you said that?
That's why I said it.
Oh.
Yeah. I just love there's a guy out there that's like, this college football playoff stuff is ridiculous.
It's exhausting, he says.
Talk about the Beavs.
Well, I'm kind of with him. It is exhausting. No. I've got a preview here.
13, by the way.
Oh.
Is that, you found it?
Yeah, it says Oregon. Yeah, I think we got, this was from earlier in the year. This was preseason, so I don't know if that's changed.
That's the old look-ahead line.
The old look-ahead line.
You sure that's not football?
Oh, God, are we going football now? No, the look-ahead line would be more than 13 that, right?
I don't think so. Not at the start of the year.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I may be wrong, but we'll find out tomorrow. How about
Let's go on this journey together. Let's be honest. Sorry to that YouTuber. I was not prepared to break down the Tinkler's big 4-0 record against Utah Tech.
You know what my hot take on that is?
Yeah.
They haven't played anyone.
Well, they haven't left Corvallis yet either.
Well, give me the four teams they've played.
I just did.
Oh, you did?
Utah Tech.
Oh.
Weber State, Western Oregon.
I didn't even hear. He went through
Cal
all
State
of them.
Fullerton.
Yeah.
Way to pay attention.
To the dude's story.
Yeah, come you on. Don't care about the Tinkler. You're busy living in Jayhawk land and number right. one teams in the country. And,
hey, we're a football school.
That's right. BYU is going to become a basketball school after we get bounced by ASU. We're going back to dominate the Big 12.
Do you think they're
going to
beat ASU?
No, I don't.
I was thinking about that game today.
Nah.
ASU's favored.
It just...
Yeah.
It feels like... And it bothered me that the committee dropped them as much as they did. But you knew that as soon as BYU lost, anyone in the Big 12 was going to get dropped. They're going to have to win the whole thing in order to get in. But we see this all the time. A team is a solid team. They're playing well. They get some good fortune. And eventually you run into teams that are playing better. And once in a blue moon, you get the TCU story, right? And that thing almost got Cinderella until Georgia took the glass slipper and shoved it up sideways rock style. But for the most part, when you're playing with your food like that and you're kind of getting by the hair of your chin, even a team like Miami that's so much more talented than BYU, even that runs out. You can't keep playing close games and getting everyone that goes your way.
Well, I agree with that, but I think if you look, I guess the thing that I was thinking about, it's like, why would I trust Arizona State? Like, what have they shown I should trust them?
You really shouldn't, but if you're going to look at just, like, the last 4 weeks, because this is the other thing we do a lot in college football.
He's got a dog mentality!
In the NFL, we do a pretty good job of always saying four games, right? Now you have that weird 17th game, but I still can't bring myself to say 10-7. It's 9-7. Like, I know there's the extra game, and my brain just can't compute it. But...
is hard.
Yeah, well, the 16 games was a nice even number. It made sense, right? And so we do a pretty good job of taking it four games at a time.
You know
right?
what they should do? They should make it 18.
Old.
Because they're gonna.
That's a coming. But like if you took a team that played like crap or great in the first 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and then by the time you get to week 10, we'll view that as a completely different team.
Sure.
Winning or losing, right? Like we just be like, yeah, it doesn't look the same. But in college football, we try to, because every game matters, especially up until this year, you know, more than one loss and you're out. So we tend to look at it as a totality thing. And I think we need to start doing more like an NFL thing where when you look at it, and you look at ASU the last 6 weeks or Colorado the last 6 weeks, and you look at BYU, BYU is not as good as either one of those. Kansas is another one.
Yeah.
Think about how many one-score games that Kansas lost. If you took this Kansas team right now and you put them at the start of the year, that's a completely different team.
Mm.
And so when I look at BYU, I hope they can do it. But honestly, right now, Arizona State and Colorado are both better football teams, and probably so SMU. We got SMU early in the year, and I feel like if we played SMU right now, I want no part of that.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. I just, Arizona State, I was kind of looking at that game going, BYU can sit back there. I mean, we were talking about him yesterday, or Monday. And look, as a Kansas fan, watching him up close, I did not think he was very good.
No.
But at the same time, I thought we did a pretty good job at warming him up in the second half.
Yeah.
Because if you give him time, he can pick you apart. Mm. I mean, he does have an arm to do that.
Yeah.
And Arizona State doesn't really have that defensive front. Mm. And that's why I was like, just kind of going back and forth in that game going, well, maybe BYU... It's a good matchup for them because Arizona State can't really rush the quarterback as well as they would like. Cause you got to really keep that guy.
Yeah.
You got to keep that guy on his toes.
It worries me because, when you go back since, the Central Florida, game in the second half where it kind of started to get a little wonky for us. And then against Utah and Kansas, our offense has just completely disappeared. And, I want to believe that that's just a blip on the radar, but I just
blippity blip.
It concerns me. Like I said, I think we were getting by with some good fortune and it may run out. But if we get ASU, Houston doesn't scare me. And then you got, you know, one game and, you know, probably Colorado and we'll see what happens.
Hey, good game. Big game.
Yes.
In Tempe.
Tempe.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's a great story.
I love that.
I think obviously what Colorado is doing is a really good story, and it gets the most attention. But dude, Kenny Dillingham took over a program that literally was cratered out.
Didn't they win three games last year?
Yeah, and they weren't bowl eligible because you know they were banned, and they had a mass exodus.
And they were under recruiting sanctions.
Yeah, I mean it was as bad a situation as you could take over, and the fact that they are 8-2 right now, I mean. It's kind of amazing. Now, and by the way, this may all be fool's gold because their best win is probably, I don't know, Kansas State? Yeah, Kansas State.
Last week?
Yeah, last week. And so, you know, maybe BYU comes out and thumps them and we look at Dillingham and we're like, okay, it was a nice job, but, you know, it was more of you righted the ship, but you didn't play anyone.
Well, that's the Big 12 in general.
Yeah.
I think.
But if Dillingham finishes this thing off.
I mean, does the Big 12 have any great non-conference wins?
Probably not. I mean, there's not a great team in the Big 12. I mean, honestly, the best win is probably, because what's SMU ranked right now?
They're like 14 or something.
That's probably that's probably the best non-conference win, and BYU got them. And that was when they were doing the quarterback switch. And I think they did have their current quarterback, but I think that was either his first game or they made the switch in the middle of the game. Because Colorado doesn't have a good non-conference victory on their slate. I mean, they got drubbed by Nebraska. No. So, I mean, I'd have to go through, but I looked at Arizona State. I looked at Colorado. BYU, the SMU game, that's the best one. Because it's not a great conference right now. It's a competitive conference, and it's a fun conference. But you can't convince me that if you took any Big 12 team, because if we're going to say the best teams in the Big 12, right, BYU, Colorado, ASU, who else you want to throw in? Iowa State, right? Well, Iowa State. And Iowa State beat Iowa. Does that do anything for you?
That's probably your best non-conference win, though.
Yeah. So,
but not really.
You want to throw that one in there? So if you took any one of those teams and you threw them, and all of them are two-loss teams with the exception of BYU. I think BYU is the only one-loss team. If we threw them in the Big 12 or the SEC, is there even a three-loss team?
No.
Are they four?
But they're not in there. So.
No, they're not. But I think we can be, and you're scheduled. You can only play the schedule, but I also think we can be realistic when you look at this and just say, if you put them and you took any team from the Big 12 and you made them play, and to be fair, Oregon didn't have to play every good Big 10 team either. But if you took any one of those Big 12 teams and you had them play Ohio State, Oregon, Wisconsin, and give me another, Michigan. Yeah, let's take Michigan.
Okay.
They're probably losing three of those four.
Well, this is what the SEC is saying.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
But it's not the system.
It's not the system, but it is true.
But that's a big game. Somebody in Arizona just texted in Vancouver Ford text line. They said, Arizona State is generating buzz I haven't heard here in probably a decade.
Yeah.
The tickets for the BYU game, cheapest is over $200.
Yeah, Kenny Dillingham.
Wow.
Well, you know, there's a lot of Mormons in Arizona.
Yes.
Lots.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Mormons everywhere, aren't there?
Yeah,
generally,
but not in. We have certain pockets like Idaho, a lot of Mormons. Arizona, a lot of Mormons. I don't know why. Maybe Mormons just like nice weather, but there's a ton of them in Arizona. And so I guess Dillingham got concerned because everyone was buying up tickets on the secondary market and they were all BYU fans. And Dillingham was like, hey,
Uh-oh. Yeah,
he came out at his press conference and said, dude, if you sell your ticket, you make sure whoever you're selling to shows you a hat, a shirt, something.
I heard that and I was like, hold on a second. Does he think most tickets are now bought and sold like person to person?
Yeah.
Like this all happens on SeatGeek. You can't
show me a hat.
Like, what are we doing?
I thought it was kind of adorable.
What percentage of tickets are bought and sold like that?
That 5%? He's a young guy that I'm showing up to someone's driveway. Wow. I'm like, I'm going to need to see your Arizona
State. I love the sentiment, here. But like, yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. There, I mean, there will be, that will not be a small contingent of BYU fans at ASU.
Hey, man, I just think it's cool that that's a big game down there.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Well, it's always weird because you see this in the NFL sometimes, and you can get in college when it's a big moment and you're at the home stadium and the other team's crowd is making noise. You're like, oh, gosh, like you got a little... got a little juice.
Well, and then that usually fires up the home crowd.
Yeah.
Because then they're like, well, we can't have this.
But there will be a moment when ASU has the ball in a key moment, and the BYU crowd will make enough noise, and you'll be like, oh, gosh, it feels like a BYU game.
All the hots. You know what Arizona State needs to do as a tactic in this game? Is they need to utilize their hots on all those little poor Mormon boys.
Yeah, what are they? They're not
those sex-starved Mormon boys.
They're not ready for that.
They're not ready for the ASU hots in their little Daisy Dukes.
I will say, having played at ASU, it can be quite distracting.
Yeah. I went down there once and fell in love 800 times.
Yeah, we were playing there. And
900 times.
Right behind our bench. They always put a nice rowdy crowd behind our bench, but... Well, I'll tell you what, it was very distracting when you're on the bench, and I would say like the first 15 rows, man, that is something else at Sun Devil Stadium.
What's the weather going to be like? Probably nice this time of year, right?
I'm going to say 72. 72 and warm.
Okay.
You know, sunny. What time's the game? Because right now it's
12:30.
It's 4 o'clock on a Wednesday, and it's 76 right now.
Yeah, it's going to be nice out there.
It's going to be just fine.
Maybe I'll go.
Hop on a plane, get on down there. Hey.
What?
I'll give you some BYU gear.
Nah, I'd root for my man Dilly Dilly.
It's disappointing.
You
got to root for my Cougs, huh?
No.
That hurts.
I would.
That hurts my feelings.
Well, sorry about your feelings, but go Devils. Okay, well, we got sidetracked. I don't even know why we were talking about them. Dan Lanning trending again today. Mm-hmm. Next on The Fan. You know, look, we love Dan Lanning here. Interview him every Thursday, although this week he will be off recruiting. But he is trending again today, and this has become a thing. And maybe it's just because we're in Oregon.
It's a bit ridiculous. It's a bit much at this point.
Now it's over the top.
Yeah.
Because this week, so he trends every week during midweek, Tuesday or Wednesday, because Oregon puts out its hype game video from the weekend before.
Really good job.
Their cinematic recap series called Ducks versus Them.
And I don't know how they do it, but they get that sucker to... Everybody sees it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do
it. They release it on every social media channel they have on like Monday or Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I know. I just like Pat McAfee's always talking about I think they send it to specific people to circulate it.
Well, the people are also now expecting it every week. And in this like social media landscape we're in, everyone is content farming. They're all looking for things that'll get clicks and that will drive internet traffic. And this is that.
They do such a good job with it that it gets Dan Lanning trending every week, because this week it's the, oh my God, Dan Lanning, so amazing. Because what happens is they shoot all the behind the scenes stuff, which people just love. They eat it up. Mm-hmm. And we got to see the behind the scenes of how the whole thing came about them jumping around to jump around.
Sure.
And it was in the video. It's like 9-minute video or whatever. And it's really good and really well done. They do it every week. And every week, it causes a stir on social media. Lanning starts trending, and then he becomes the genius of all geniuses, and nobody could ever beat him ever again. Now, I don't know if this is because they're the number one team in the country.
Or it certainly helps.
Just because... I don't know. We're in Oregon, and there's a lot of Oregon fans passing it around, and it's a thing with Oregon fans, or if it's a national thing. But it's really getting out of hand. And they asked him about it today. He had a press availability today, and he was asked about it, and he said, "Look, it doesn't matter. As much as we like him, and he is super likable, he's motivational, he's all these things. He's like he's tough, he's focused, he's smart, he's detailed, he's a real leader. One of the things that I think that they show very well in those videos is that he's sort of a build them up kind of leader. He is not a Brian Kelly tear them down sort of leader, and I respect that about him. He seems to be kind of the guy in charge that says, hey, I'm with you, not do what I say or you're going to get in trouble type of guy, right?
Yeah.
And I like that. That's a Me good too. Leader. That said, he even says none of this stuff matters. He says it's all out of hand, and it really doesn't matter all that much. You guys still got to go out there and execute.
Yeah. But the idea that they're like the headlines, how Dan Lanning weaponized jump around. Oh my God. Like that stuff just, that had nothing to do. Again, right after that was the 4th-and-9 play. And I'm telling you, go back and watch. The Wisconsin kid is 2 inches away from knocking that ball down. And we're not talking about this. And I promise you that them jumping around did not lead to a 2-inch difference in that pass.
And Lanning was the first one to say that had nothing to do with it. Yeah, that was just when it happened to fall.
But we just love narratives. And right now he's the hot girl, and he's making fetch happen. and it's just true. We do this all the time with the kind of the latest thing, and we love trends and we love buzz. And right now, Lanning can do no wrong.
I think he wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be going on if they weren't number one, but also I think this whole week to week behind the scenes is kind of unique. And so if they were 7-3, maybe no one cares, but because they're number one and you have the unique content, it just blows up every time.
It's not that unique though, because Colorado does this, a bunch of teams do it. But the difference is, one, Oregon I think does it better than most, and Colorado isn't number one. Oregon is. But like Colorado did this last year, to start the season, and they were like the number one like watch team in college football, and then didn't win. Dude, you can have all the sizzle you want. Jake Paul got 60 plus million people to tune in to watch him fight an old geriatric fart, and that's great. But if the next time Jake Paul goes out and he gets his head bent backwards, we're done watching.
Is it adding pressure? Are they actually in a very inadvertent way hurting Oregon's run here?
I don't think so.
You're growing the army of haters. That's what's happening.
Well, that's certainly happening.
Like, yes. You're creating more people that are going to point and laugh when you fall and stumble.
Well, and not only that, but you better win the big one now.
Yes.
Because now you've built this up to where it's like, hey, this guy's so amazing. This team's number one. They're amazing.
And it's a great marketing tool, which I think was the whole point. But now it comes with this other thing that you have all this exposure and people are going to point to it as soon as you stumble.
It's like like DeChambeau when he was doing the I'm going to hit it as far as I can. I'm going to get as big as I can. I'm going to do the weird iron thing. Like, he set himself up and he did the garage workouts and all that. Like, you are going to build haters, but you're also going to be people. You're going to build eyeballs to your program. And I think Oregon and Lanning obviously are very comfortable putting a target on their back, from the floating duck at Big Ten Media Day, to the videos, to that team out west, to the jump around thing. They do not have a problem. Say, look at us, we're different here, come and get us. And I appreciate that, because when you have that sort of bravado, look, you're going to get slayed. It happens. But that sort of confidence and swagger, when you back it up, it's one of the coolest things in sports. Like, I am not a big, that doesn't do a whole lot for me. The flashy thing. I said all along, like, when I was coming out, I would have gone and played for a Mike Riley or a Chris Peterson type. I don't really like the hyper alpha male sort of stuff. But watching one of my favorite teams to watch ever was when Miami was rolling. When Miami had it cooking down with the U, I'm sorry, that is must-see theater. From Vinny Testaverde walking out on Penn State, and by the way, they lost that national title game, but you couldn't take your eyes off of it because you're like, oh my God, how awesome is it to watch those guys get taken down? But more often than not, Miami backed it up and they were the bullies, and it was awesome. And I love that Oregon doesn't mind playing the bad guy. They're saying, hey, if you're riding with us, we got all the room on the bandwagon as humanly possible. And if you don't like us, F you, beat us. And that sort of mentality and that sort of bravado, it's like you see this in boxers, you see it in MMA fighters. And I just, there's a reason why Conor McGregor, for whatever you think of him, was the biggest star in MMA history. Because you want to see him either get knocked out or you want to see him knock someone out. And I love it. I love putting the bullseye on your back.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that he does that and I'm sure other coaches, I mean, Kirby Smart, I probably came from Kirby Smart because they seem to do this in the biggest moments. But the one thing that I think he's really good at that is highlighted in these videos is how he and his other coaches, they tend to lean into the moments that should create or could create anxiety or pressure for their players. Like, they go right to those moments and they embrace them. And they basically always just go back to, I've been watching those videos every week. They go back to technique, fundamentals. Yep. We practice for this. All you have to do to get to weather this storm, to get through this moment, to come back and win this game, to make this drive happen, is technique and fundamentals. So the moments where pressure may get to a kid or they may start to think too much, they simplify it. He's really good at that.
And it
works.
Yeah, and I've never played in a national championship game or anything like that. I stood on the sideline in some big NFL games. But I remember, like, being at Alabama, Florida State, we were playing the defending national champions. And when Chief Osceola comes out with the horse and the spear, the flaming spear, and sticks that in the ground, and everyone starts you get 80,000 people doing that. You can say all you want that that stuff doesn't affect you, but there's a little bit of you where you're like, ooh, like there's a chill that runs down your spine. Like you try to block it out and you're like, dude, we're going to go shock the world. Dude, it's a hostile environment. There's a reason why places like that are hard to go win. Autzen Stadium is a tough place to go. Go ask Ohio State. That place is rocking. So yes, if you as a coach, and I thought that was a real good thing that you said, when you can lean into those moments and you can take away the anxiety and you can be like, hey, this is what we do. This is what we embrace. It's the whole cooking on their grill thing. Little things like that. Absolutely.
You know what? I'm going
to
cook on your grill.
And to a kid and to a recruit, they eat that up.
As opposed to, and again, I always go back to Brian Kelly because he's such an ass.
Yes.
Jumping in your huddle and going, right here, do what I say right here. And, it's, I don't know. There's just ways to motivate and there's ways to do it. And I think Dan Lanning and his staff, they do it really, really well. Yeah. And so it's not like there's no substance to it. I just wonder how much, it's kind of getting over the top now.
A little bit, yeah.
But, the flip side of that is they've already done one of these for the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
He is looking for the most minute little advantage anywhere he can get it.
Yeah.
And earlier in the year, when they went to Purdue, they stayed at the hotel in Indianapolis.
They'll stay at.
And so he's already got them thinking, hey, we want to be back here. Yep. You're familiar with this.
You've been here before.
A little bit more comfortable.
Yep.
It's just.
Think about that Ohio State game and how close that was and the margins, right? Stuff like that. In college football, 90% of the time when you're a team like Oregon, you just win because you're better. But when you play a team that's equal to you, it's one in the margins. Yeah. And that's a guy that wants from the penalty thing, right, to the hotel, that guy wants to win every margin. And maybe if you put enough of those together, just a 1%, a half a percent, you put enough of those together, and that's the difference between...
Well, you just don't know what will be the difference.
Exactly. And so you cover all your bases, whereas, like, what was the Embiid right now in the NBA is getting called out because I guess he's late to everything. And you see this a lot with star players, and they're like, well, why does that matter? And it's really hard to get all of the little things right, or all the big things right, when you don't do the little things.
Yeah.
You really...
And he preaches that.
Yes. It's the teams that have attention to detail, and all the little things get taken care of, and it's amazing how often those little things lead to the big things falling in place, as opposed to the attitude of, that stuff doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. That's what ends up costing you, maybe not in the immediate, but somewhere down the road, that lack of detail comes back and bites you in the ass. I mean, BYU, it was a great team, but it's their season's on the line at 4th and 4, 4th and 5, and they jump off sides.
Yeah.
You see that all the time, and you're just like, there's your undefeated season right there.
Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. A few thoughts on this we'll get to from you coming up next. Lanning trending again today, and we'll get to some NFL. Hey, there is a first time for everything. That's coming up next hour on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.